Masechet Moed Katan, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Dal. We'll continue talking about writing on Chol HaMoed. Mishnah says, En Kotvin Shtare Chov BaMoed. A person's not allowed to write loan documents on Chol HaMoed if the lender is willing to lend money without receiving a document in return. Since the lender and borrower trust each other on that type of level, there's nothing, no problem in waiting till after the holiday, and then they could write the document. So therefore, there's no allowance to write it on Chol HaMoed. But if the lender doesn't trust the borrower, and he's very hesitant to give over the loan without the proper documentation that attests that the borrower took money from him, and the borrower really needs that money. He can't wait till after Chol HaMoed, and we want to make sure that this person gets the money. He's needy, and we want him to have it. So in that situation, or she'en lo ma yochal, or if the sofer, the scribe who usually writes these documents, doesn't have what to eat and needs food, and paying him for this document would give him the food that could provide him and get him through the entire Yom Tov, harei ze yichtov, you're allowed to write this type of document. When it comes to writing Kitve HaKodesh, Sifre Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzot, Mishnah says, En Kotvin Sefarim, Tefillin, Mezuzot, Bamoed. A person not allowed to write Torah scrolls or Tefillin or Mezuzot on Chol HaMoed, even though these are mitzvot. Writing a Sefer Torah is a mitzvah. According to what we're saying over here, it's also a Ma'ase Uman. There's a lot of skill that goes into writing a Sefer Torah. So, and Tefillin and Mezuzot. So therefore, we're not allowed to do it. There's no pressing need for it. If they need it for the actual holiday to read from the Torah, that's a different story. But if it's just writing a Sefer Torah this day, it's not permitted. You're not even allowed to correct a single letter in the Torah of the Azara, of the courtyard of the Bet HaMikdash. The Kohen would read aloud from this Sefer Torah on the holy day of Yom Kippur. You're not even allowed to work on that, even though it's a need of the public, even though this is now for the entire Jewish nation. Doesn't matter. You're not allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kotev Adam Tefillin Umezuzot La'atzmo. Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends. If it's for a person's own needs, if he needs it for himself in order to perform the mitzvot of Tefillin Umezuzah, he's allowed to, but not for the purpose of selling them, not for other people. Even for other people to do the mitzvah seems to be, according to the Biuda, that it's a problem. A person needs to spin techelet. Techelet is a thread of blue that goes on to sisit. The Biuda says that you're only allowed to spin it on a person's thigh. That's him doing it bishinui, as opposed to taking the thread and spinning it together with his fingers or a spindle. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, you're only allowed to do it in a shinui way, in a different way, which would be a person rubbing it against his thigh and holding it on the other end and turning it into a proper techelet string. Masechet Moed Katan, Perek Gimel, Mishnah He. The rest of the Masechet will deal with the laws of Avelut as they apply to the holidays. Some also regular laws of Avelut will be discussed as well. We'll give a basic introduction to the laws of Avelut and understand some terms before we get into it. A person has to mourn for his close relatives, a father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, or spouse. Lo Alenu, there is a certain type of Avelut for a regular relative, and then there's extended prohibitions when it comes to parents. The different periods that we have is we have the aninut, first of all, which is not really mourning. It's the state of a person right when he experiences the death of a loved one and he didn't bury him. He is therefore not obligated in any of the positive commandments of the Torah because he's asuk b'mitzvah. He is busy with the mitzvah of burying the dead. Then after the deceased is buried, a person has to sit shiva for 7 days, which is the most intense period of mourning. Then he has the shloshim for the 30 day, until the 30th day after the burial. Then the prohibitions lessen from the shiva to the shloshim, and after the shloshim, a person doesn't have any more restrictions unless he's mourning for a parent. Where then for the rest of a 12 month period, a person would have certain prohibitions. The Shiva, the intense time that a person, right after he buries a relative, he's not allowed to have a haircut, he can't wash his clothing, he can't wear freshly laundered clothing, he can't bathe, he can't smear himself with oil, no marital relations, can't wear shoes, work, learn Torah, or greet others. After the Shiva is done, all of these restrictions go by the wayside, and he's allowed to do all of them, except for taking a haircut, and also certain understanding of wearing freshly laundered clothing. That would not be allowed the entire Shloshim. Also, a person, the entire Shloshim, is not allowed to get married or attend celebrations. Also, he cannot take business trips. That would be extended. If a person is mourning the loss of mother and father, then all of these prohibitions apply in a much more muted way for the entirety of a year. Besides for all of these halachot that apply to a mourner, someone who's mourning also has to do kiri'ah, he has to rip his clothing. The seven close relatives have to perform kiri'ah right when one of their relatives passes away or right before they're buried. If a person's parent passes away, he has to rip his garment all the way until his chest is revealed, and he's not allowed to sew it up afterwards. For other relatives, he only has to rip a tefach, which is one fist worth, and he's left to sew it up afterwards, and the kiri'ah has to be done while standing. The first Mishnah of this component of Mishnayot that deal with Avelut is going to discuss what happens when a holiday falls out during the Shiva'ah or during the Shloshim. What do we treat the Shiva'ah or the Shloshim? How do we treat it? Do we say, oh, once the holiday hits, it's like it's over? Or do we say, no, it's not over, we just put it on pause and we continue counting it after the holiday is over till we get to the final completion? Mishnah says, somebody buries his relative 3 or more days before the holiday, batla himeno gezerat shiva'ah, the rest of the shiva'ah is cancelled out once the holiday hits. He doesn't have to continue counting 7 days after the holiday is finished. But the Shloshim here is not cancelled. So if 3 days, if he has at least 3 days according to the Mishnah, and then he has the holiday, it's like he had the Shiva already, and then he continues to count for the 30 days afterwards. Halacha lema'aseh, we don't follow this view of the Mishnah, because it seems to be that if it's only if a person had 3 days of sitting before the holiday came, that's when the Shiva is cancelled. Halacha lema'aseh, anytime a person sat, even if it's for 1 minute, if he sat on Erev holiday and then he hits the Yom Tov, that cancels out the Shiva'ah. We don't have to have a significant amount of days like the Mishnah seems to imply. Continues the Mishnah, Shemonah bat lahemenu gezerat shiloshim. But if the burial took place 8 or more days before the holiday, so that the Shiva'ah ended and then the Shiloshim began the first day within the Shiloshim section, so day 8 of the Shiloshim, so he's leading up to the Shiloshim, what do we say? Then the whole entire laws of Shiloshim are cancelled out. He doesn't have to observe the rest of the halachot of the Shiloshim because the holiday broke the Shiloshim. Because again, he sat 7 days, and then day 8, and then he hit the holiday, so he started the portion of the Shiloshim, so therefore it gets cancelled out. Halacha lema'aseh, also we disagree with this understanding of the Mishnah. We hold differently. We say that even if the Shiva only began 7 days before the holiday, then the Shiloshim is cancelled as well, because the last day of the Shiva, which is day 7, counts as the last day of the Shiva and also as day 1 for the Shiloshim, so it would get cancelled out anyway. It's a halacha that Shabbat doesn't cancel out Shiva, only the holidays over here do. So the Mishnah is going to tell us why a holiday cancels at Shiva and Shloshim, while a Shabbat does not. Mishnah says, "Mipnei she'amru Shabbat ola ve'ena mafseket." We have a teaching from the earlier rabbis where we said Shabbat counts as one of the days of Shiva, but it doesn't end it. It doesn't count. It doesn't cut it short. The Shiva continues after Shabbat. Regalim mafsekin ve'enan olin. But when it comes to holidays, they do cut the Shiva short, like we learned earlier on in the Mishnah, but they don't count towards the Shiva. So when a holiday doesn't have at least 3 days, according to the way we read this Mishnah, and it's not canceling out the Shiva, We then don't say, okay, so now, you know what, let's continue counting on the holiday till we get to the 7 days. Rather, a person has to put the counting on pause and continue counting after the holiday is over. Shabbat works very different. Shabbat will never break the Shiva or the Shloshim that a person is sitting, but you do use it towards the count. And the reason for this, that Shabbat counts towards the Shiva, but a holiday does not, is because when it comes to Shabbat, the laws of Avilut are not observed in the Parhesia, in public, but you do observe some sort of private display of Avilut, so therefore we could count it as a day. But when it comes to the holidays, there's no mourning whatsoever, so therefore you can't count it as one of the days of the Shiva.